We are continuing in Hebrews 11, so if you want to take your Bibles and go there, I thought this would be the best approach. It's not kind of a traditional Mother's Day message, but given the season of time we're in, I wanted to just keep us thinking about faith and keep strengthening our faith and letting the Word of God build us up. So thankful for Pastor Robert and his ministry to us last week and how encouraging that was. And I want us to just continue to really look to what the Scripture tells us as faith being a lifestyle. We have been focusing on the life of Moses, and he's our example during these days. And I'm not rushing through this, and we're not actually going to get to really finish his life this week either, because I want it to just settle into our hearts, and I want it to be something that we really understand as we move forward, that his life of faith, and it tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 23 and following, that by faith, Moses, he did certain things. He rejected things that did not please the Lord and what God did not want for him in his life, and then he chose to accept what God did have for him in his life, and the path that God had planned for him, and God was going to use him in a great way. But it would take that putting off of his own desires and really choosing to put on Christ and the future Messiah and the even the hardship that would come with that choice to honor the Lord. It says that he, in our memory verse, that he was looking for the reward. He was looking forward. And that really is the essence of faith, as the Scripture tells us in verse 1 of chapter 11, that it's that assurance of things that are hoped for, the future, that God is completely in control of, and the conviction of things that are not seen. And even the season of life that we're going to review today for Moses and what God asked him to do, it really is once again just amazing how sometimes God puts us in places where he asks us to do certain things that really don't make sense. But yet, that's how his glory is displayed and his power is displayed in our lives. And the Scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we have to keep remembering that we must walk by faith. Faith must be our lifestyle. Faith must control our thinking. We must really rely on what we know and not what we feel each and every day. And that is the struggle. It's a struggle in my heart, and I'm sure you can understand and would even identify the struggle in your heart as well. But we looked a couple weeks ago at Moses when he did, at the age of 40, he was grown, it says, that he did actually refuse. It says in verse 24, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the reward. So he refused what could have been really great for him, a position in the household of Pharaoh, the most prominent leader of the known world at that time, and all of the honor that would come with that and the exaltation. He chose to let that go and to identify himself as a Hebrew with the people of God, those in that situation, the lowly ones, the slaves at the time. And he also chose to not go after a life of pleasure that would have come with that position. But he wanted to really consider that there was something greater, that the wealth of following God and the reward that he would have, that would far surpass anything that he could handle or enjoy in the immediate. And then lastly, really the plenty or the treasure that would come with that position would be no doubt endless for him. But he thought it would be better in the long run, and I'm sure now all these years later in heaven, he would be the first one to say the glories of Christ and enjoyment of the reward of God and his presence and his glory and everything that he has experienced from his the time of his death on, I'm sure he would say, far surpassed anything that he would have here in the temporal life. And so Moses really gives us an example, not a perfect example. He made really bad choices, and the scripture explains those to us. Not all of them, but many of them. And yet, he lived a life of faith. Not perfect, but faithful. And so he chose to follow God's plan for his life and really come to a place where he would say, God, I will do what you want, and I will be used by you. So let's look at verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seen him who is unseen. I want to look at two aspects this morning of the life of Moses as we continue during down the seasons of his life. And it tells us that he left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. Faith in God actually helps us overcome the fear of man. I think all of us, on some level, struggle with insecurity. And with that insecurity, that comes in the form of fearing other people, fearing what they think about us, what maybe they will do to us if we make certain choices. And we have an example here that by faith, Moses made choices that really went against the most powerful man in the known world. Think about the king of Egypt at this time and the massive kingdom that he had and all of the forces that he represented and that really were behind his desires. So yes, it tells us that he was not fearing the king. But imagine, it wasn't just the king, it was all of Egypt. And Moses went against that kind of person and really everything that went along with this kind of a person and the leadership that he had. And it says there that he left Egypt. Now, Moses left Egypt on two occasions. The one where he had committed a crime, he had killed a man and was scared of what Pharaoh would do, and he left and went to Midian. So that was the first occasion. And some would say that that's what is being referred to here in the text, that first time or his first departure from Egypt. Now that fits chronologically in our text in Hebrews 11, because we're going to move on to the Passover in just a moment. But where it doesn't fit is Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, when it says that he was afraid of Pharaoh, and so he departed. So in our text here, in chapter 11, in verse 27, it says that he was not fearing Pharaoh. So, you know, some would say that it does fit because of the chronology, but others would say, well, it doesn't fit because we have other parts of Scripture that would say otherwise about his mindset during this time. The second occasion for him leaving was after the Passover, when Pharaoh had come to the point of brokenness where he said, get out. And we find that in Exodus chapter 6 in verses 1 through 8. So if you would turn in your Bibles, I would like to just read a portion of Exodus 6 that'll help us kind of get the context. Some of you may be familiar with this story in Moses' life, but others may not. So Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I do not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourn. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So this is the situation where we have God promising Moses that there will be a time when God would use him to lead God's people out of Egypt. And so the second occasion probably is the one that is being referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, because God is promising that he will bring Pharaoh to the point where he will break and he will want them gone so bad. And this is probably where we're seeing that Moses could have the confidence of the power of God behind him that would drive him. Now, people disagree on this, and you kind of have to choose the interpretation or the occasion that you believe is right. But we have here that Moses was called to lead the people out of Egypt. Now, again, you're talking about a massive amount of people who were really pretty integral in the whole development of Egypt. The numbers of people and the amount of work that the Hebrews were doing for the Egyptians, it was truly amazing. And so to ask Pharaoh to let them go would have been a very fearful task. But we have here that the option for Moses to believe in the power of God, to go to one of the greatest rulers of the world and say, "Please let these people out of bondage." And the story goes on in the next few chapters to really explain the power of God and how God worked in Pharaoh's heart to bring him to a place where, as God promised, Pharaoh wanted the people gone. He wanted anything connected to them out of Egypt. Now, he did change his mind. It tells us that in Exodus 14 and verse 5, that when he had heard that they had left, he became angry and he started chasing them. So if this is where Hebrews chapter 11 is going here with the departure, we can understand that not only was it a fearful task to stand before Pharaoh in the name of God and say, "All of these things are going to happen to you," and then watch God display his power, and then really believe God enough to lead them out of Egypt, only to understand that now Pharaoh was chasing them. And so he had the opportunity to exercise his faith in a very, very difficult situation. And you can understand how Moses would be tempted to fear man in these moments. The moments of standing before him when Pharaoh could have ordered him to be killed because he was defying his authority, all the way up until the point where he's now left Egypt and Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt are chasing him. And so the scripture tells us that even in these very difficult situations where it would be tempting to really cower in fear of this leader and all that he represents, that Moses was faithful, that he believed the word of God, and he continued to follow. And God did bring the people out of Israel. And so faith, according to this verse here in verse 27, faith allowed Moses to overcome the fear of man. Now, the fear of man, as I mentioned, is something that we all struggle with. The scripture talks quite a bit about the fear of man. In fact, in Proverbs 29:25, it says the fear of man lays a snare. It's actually harmful. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. See, our insecurity and really the temptation in our thoughts would be to believe that, you know, we want to cower to people and we want to make sure that their opinion of us is just right so that we're safe. But the scripture actually corrects that thinking. And really brings us to what is clear and what's real, and that is that safety is in the Lord and the Lord's opinion of us. And so we don't have to be insecure around other people. We don't have to fear what man thinks. That actually is a very dangerous thing for us. What brings security to our life is the Lord and trusting in who he said that he is. Psalm 118, verse 8. it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. See, it was better for Moses to take refuge in the great I am, the one true God who is powerful, who can bring all of these plagues and really bring them to a point where the most powerful ruler of the day would say, "Get out, I am no one." God is able. And when we take refuge in him, then we find true security. Hebrews 13:6, "So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." When we believe that it is God that really is the one we should be pleasing and his opinion is the one that matters, then everything else falls away. Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell." Once again, just continual instruction for the follower of Christ to look to God and find your security in God and not in man. Galatians 1:10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." See, the fear of man and the fear of God, those are two very different things. And if you're going to be a servant of Christ, you cannot let the fear of man control you and what people think. You must do what God wants you to do. And when you have a lifestyle of faith as Moses displayed, it can overcome the temptation to fear man, even in the craziest of circumstances. "Moses, go back to Egypt, stand before the most powerful man, and tell him what you want to see accomplished." That's crazy to think about. But because that's really what God said to do, and his faith in God controlled his thinking, therefore it controlled his actions, he went back to Egypt, he stood in confidence, and then he left Egypt with God's people, confidently believing that this is what God had. We must decide many times whose anger we fear more. Do we fear the anger of the world, or do we fear our wonderful God, the one who will actually be the judge of the living and the dead? So from Moses' life of faith, we continue to learn. And we learn that if we take refuge in our God and we trust in his power, then we can actually get over our fear of man, which is part of our flesh and what makes up so many people and defines so many people. We can overcome that. Faith chooses to follow the Lord. The end of the verse tells us that this faith was in God, even though Moses could not see him. It says, "And seeing him who is unseen." And remember in Hebrews chapter 6 that we must believe, right? The one who has faith must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So Moses' faith was in the unseen God, even though he had had this experience with him in a situation where there was this bush that caught on fire and the presence of God came and displayed. But still, the invisible God was the one that Moses sought to follow, even in the moments when he could see and he could touch Pharaoh, his kingdom, and all that he had. That was what he could see, but he chose to follow what he could not see. The one true God. Faith must believe that he is, that God is who he said he is, and he's able to do what he says he will do. No matter what you see, you must trust what you don't see in relationship to the God who is in control of all things. Let the unseen God control your view. So perhaps the practical application would be in different areas of your life where you are in a situation where you're tempted to fear what other people think. You're tempted to really cower to the opinion of the day. Would you trust God? Would you take refuge in him? Believe that he is actually sovereign. He's in control. He's the most powerful God. He can accomplish all of his purposes. And according to the scripture, nothing you do or anyone else will thwart his purposes. So we take refuge in our God. We don't fear man. And we don't fear what man can do to us. The second aspect of the life of faith that I'd like us just to ponder on this morning is in verse 28 of Hebrews 11. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Faith leads to obedient activity, even though the activity seems strange. Now, you may have a fairly good understanding of the history of God's people and sacrifice and things like that. But there may be people watching today that you read a verse like this or you hear a verse like this. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood and destroying of the firstborn. And you think, what in the world is going on here? Faith really leads to obedient activity, even if it seems somewhat strange. Moses was being asked to participate and do things that were a little bit different. We're talking about blood on doors. We're talking about unleavened bread. We're talking about bitter herbs. All of these things that really described what God was going to do as that final plague of death upon Egypt. And we find it in Exodus chapter 11. If you're still in Exodus, you can look in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh in Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here.'" So God's final plague involved death. Look in verse 4. It says, "And Moses said, 'Thus says the Lord, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, and the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again.'" This was going to be the final plague, the plague of death, that God's judgment would be revealed upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. And in order to avoid this judgment, God told Moses that he wanted him to personally do it and then ask the people that God had chosen, the Hebrews, to participate in this same activity. Now, from my vantage point in 2020, this activity seems a little bit strange. And perhaps it did for Moses as well. Look in chapter 12 in verse 5. It says, "Your lamb," they were told to get a lamb, a spotless lamb. "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." Now, this is somewhat strange activity. God tells Moses, okay, what I want you to do and the other people to do, I want you to find a perfect lamb, and I want you to keep that lamb to a very specific point at night, right? And then at night, I want you to kill that lamb. And when you do, I want you to cook it in a very specific way. They couldn't boil it, and they couldn't eat any of the meat in any type of raw way to just make them distinct from other people's. They had to cook it by fire, and with that, their bread had to be unleavened, and then they would add bitter herbs to all of this. And so they were supposed to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. This was a little bit, I would say, strange activity. But Moses believed God. And so in the midst of all of the situation, he believed that God was going to judge Egypt, and so they followed through. And if they would follow through and obey, even if it seemed strange to no doubt the people of Egypt, they were like, who are these people and why are they putting blood on their doorposts, and what is going on with this whole situation? But we know that God did exactly what he said he would do. Look in verse 12 and 13. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast, man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land. In verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in your houses and smite you. Look at verse 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. So God did exactly what he said he would do. And if Moses and the people of God would follow, even though it probably seemed strange in the moment, if they would follow, they would not experience the judgment of God in this way. You know, sometimes God asks us to do things that seem strange. Maybe not this kind of strange, but things that would be very, very different to the world around us, to those who don't follow God. And yet, we have the confidence because we have history with God, as Moses did. Moses had just watched God perform all these other plagues. His power was greatly revealed. And so Moses, because of his history with God, could say, you know what? God's asking us to do this. We will obey. And for a follower of God who has experienced the power of God in bringing us to a place where we can understand our own need for a Savior and understanding that we need someone outside of ourselves to take care of our problem of sin in our hearts. If you've experienced that power of God personally, and then you have experienced the power of God as he has sustained you, as you walk by faith day in, day out, that history of God brings confidence to the believer, even in 2020. It's amazing how so many believers in this season of time are just controlled by fear. We see it all over the place. And that's why we have been encouraging, whether it was from our video this last week, from our prayer time, just encouragement from all of the pastoral team. We don't want to see any kind of division come into our church that would cause Satan to get ground where there's no need for it. We need to trust God. Now, that can look very different from all of us. I've had many conversations in the last week with people, and some are more on the side of they want to be really cautious, totally understand there's underlying conditions there, and so they're being very careful in how they kind of engage in the opening up of the community and things like that. And then you have people on the other side who are very confident and really have a desire to kind of get back to work and get back engaged in things as they were before. And so you have a very broad spectrum of perspective. And so we have to be very, very careful that we love each other appropriately. I love how Pastor Jerry said, you're not going to get a gold star if you come to church next Sunday in person. We'll be thrilled if you're here with us. But if you feel like it's not the best time, that's okay. But please don't sit at home in judgment of those who maybe show up here. And those who would show up here next week, don't sit in judgment of those who are home and not here. And really just allow Satan to get victory where there's no need for it. We don't need fear to control us. We need to trust God. We need to be wise. Each individual situation, every person has to make the decision for themselves, and that is completely fine and appropriate. But be very careful that fear is not controlling your heart. We have history with God. We know who he is. He's the all-powerful God. He can accomplish anything. And Moses' life of faith is a constant reminder that in this moment, that he would say, God, I believe you. I'm going to obey, even if it seemed a little out of the ordinary. I'm going to put blood around my door, and I'm going to have the meal exactly how you want it to be. I'm going to follow exactly what you say because I believe you. He looked to God even in this moment. And this really is a wonderful picture for what would come down the road as the Messiah who would come as the substitutionary sacrifice that God had provided. This really was a display of the escape from God's judgment that would come in the Messiah. That if we look to the Messiah as the perfect Lamb of God and his sacrifice on the cross, we would as well escape the judgment that is rightfully ours, that we deserve because of our sin. And perhaps you're watching today and you've never looked to Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you that in this moment, as you're watching, you can repent of your sins. You can acknowledge your sin before a holy God, a God that will bring judgment upon man. And you can turn to the perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to atone for our sins. You can trust him today, and you can know him personally. And you can have that reward waiting for you that these folks did. As Moses looked ahead to the Messiah and all of these examples of faith and those who have come after the Messiah that looked back and said, Jesus, you are the perfect Lamb of God. You did accomplish everything that you said you would accomplish, and I trust you. We keep looking to our God. By faith, Moses made choices. And his choices were difficult. Very difficult situations. Stand before the most powerful man and do some strange things that probably looked very out of the ordinary in that day. But his faith controlled him. It was his lifestyle. And so therefore, he could obey. And when he did, he could overcome the temptation to fear man, to fear the king, the most powerful man. He could overcome that temptation. And he could stand strong. And he could also then walk by faith and make those little choices. Yes, okay, I'm gonna only cook this lamb over the fire, and I'm gonna only have unleavened bread, and I'm gonna trust God at every point, and I'm gonna obey even if it seems strange and out of the ordinary. When faith is your lifestyle, when it controls your thinking, it allows us to let God display his glory and power. And that's what we must continue to do. Faith conquers our fear of man. Faith gives us courage to obey when it doesn't make sense. Faith allows us to act on our knowledge, not based on our feelings. Faith helps us have a lifestyle that honors God and brings glory to his name. And so, you know, you have daily choices. We all do. Does faith control our lifestyle? It needs to. These examples are here for us so that we will strive to follow, to learn and follow. And God has displayed his power over and over in the lives that we have walked through in Hebrews chapter 11, in our own lives. We have history with God. We can trust him. So remember, the one who will take refuge in God will be safe. And so during these days of not knowing it, every few days I think, okay, we're going to get to a place where we figure things out and what's the future going to hold, and it just doesn't happen. We're not sure what things are going to look like. We don't know what school is going to look like in the fall. There's so many questions. We just keep trusting our God. We let faith control our thinking, even though we may not understand. And sometimes it comes to a point where, you know what, you have to make some crazy choices. But it's the choice to follow God and honor him with your life. And sometimes that even involves the opinions of others and not worrying what other people think and even the backlash of others. But you have to do what God wants you to do. And that is the example of Moses just more aspects of the life of faith from this example, which ultimately directs us to our wonderful God. It gives us hope in his power and gives us hope of the future that we have, that we will be with our Jesus, our Messiah, that the reward is coming, his presence, his glory, and all that he has waiting for us. And we don't know when that will be, but we trust him through the journey. And we want to walk by faith day in and day out. We want faith to be our lifestyle. May God give us the grace to think about these things, apply them appropriately, and strive to walk in faith in our wonderful, loving God. Let's pray. Father, your word is clear. It tells us to trust you. It tells us that we can find safety when we run to you. It tells us that we can trust you with our futures, that there is hope. God, we can be convinced of these things, and I pray that your word will just dictate our lives. Lord, help us to continue to saturate our minds with truth. Help us to believe who you are and that you are a rewarder of those who seek you. Lord, thank you for your patience with us when we let the fear of man or just the fear of doing things that don't make sense and we let other things overcome our hearts and we make choices that don't please you. God, I pray that you would continue to bring us back in your love and in your mercy and grace to a place of just daily obedience and trust in who you are and what you have for us. We love you, God, and we pray that you would work in our lives this next week for your glory. In your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.